I'd like to call the meeting back in order. And during the break, we were talking about congressional lines, so you can use your rifle hunting map and look at the new figure out what congressional districts.
And our guy made a mistake.
Well, I think he can. He'll figure it out.
Yeah. Motion to reconsider.
I agree. I can't believe you voted against
it. Yeah.
All right.
That's right, exactly. Thank you, Lloyd.
All right, I'd like to take a few minutes in my report to change topics a little bit. A lot. First, I want to remind everybody that we're having a special legislature meeting next Tuesday night, the 27th of March, at 6 o'clock in the old courthouse, the second floor. You can enter by off of DeWitt Park. The public is, of course, welcome to attend. We'll have a full presentation by Arel Lamaro and representatives from Holt Architects about the potential new design of the legislature if we were to move into the old courtroom on the second floor. I hope everybody will come. We will figure out some food for you to eat if it's legal. We have to find out first if it's permissible to have food over there. Of course, if it's not permissible, maybe we aren't ever going to move over there. So, all right. Or maybe it'll be okay once
we eat.
What?
They control what we eat, even?
Well, until we take it over, I suppose. So, all right. So, on to something maybe a little less interesting and fun. The state budget. As you know, last Wednesday night, the legislature in Albany did a whole bunch of things. The previous 2 days they had passed, the Senate and Assembly had passed their one house budget bills, which become the templates for which on which they negotiate then with the governor. They this week are having sort of joint committee meetings. They call them tables, where they, for each content area, they have joint committees, and they have a certain amount of money that they are trying to negotiate how it'll get spread within a particular area. So all this is happening very, very quickly. On Thursday, I was in Albany for for the last meeting of the Medicaid Redesign Working Group that I've been part of. And in your folder on the left side is a diagram, a chart that we talked about. I've modified it a little bit, added some information to it, but this basically came from from our meeting on Thursday afternoon. I wanted to use this to describe the different Medicaid proposals that are right now being negotiated in the state in Albany. I think Joe will, in his report, talk about other areas of the budget, but Medicaid is such an important one for us, and I wanted to give you a little bit of detail. If you'll see, there's the Executive, Senate, and Assembly, three different flavors of Medicaid proposals, and we've talked about the rows going across. Fiscal relief, that's the proposal the governor made for the capping of the growth of Medicaid, growth of the local share. The second line across there is the administrative cap, meaning the cap on reimbursements to counties for their administrative costs for Medicaid. And then state administration refers to the takeover of functions by the state, by the State Department of Health, functions that are now carried out by counties. That originates with a bill that was passed by the legislature in 2010, signed by Governor Patterson. So that is not a new idea, but Governor Cuomo had put money in the Department of Health budget and sort of tied that with the cap on reimbursements for administration that we've talked a lot about. So let me go across the top. The governor's proposed that Medicaid growth be phased out over 3 years, And the assembly accepted his proposal. Their bill includes the same thing that he has. So in 2012, we would see no savings. And I think we've talked about how this proposal would change the base year. Instead of 2005 right now, which is our base year, we get 3% increase on that each year. Governor would change the base year, and 2012 would become the new base. The net result for 2013 would be that the cost for under the governor and assembly's plan, our increased cost for Medicaid would be $274,000, and the savings to us compared to what we have right now, savings would be $78,000 in 2013. You can see at the very top of the chart, the status quo is that our 2013 Medicaid budget would grow by $352,000. So that's where we get the delta is 78. The Senate has done something that NYSAC is really excited about. It's not everything we wanted in terms of Medicaid takeover. It's not even a complete freeze that we wanted, but it's a considerable improvement over the assembly and executive's proposal. The Senate's proposal treats New York City differently from the rest of the state, and there's logic to that because New York City doesn't have a tax cap to live with. So the Senate would put, and I'll try to explain this, they would start the growth. They also use 2012 as the base year, but they would have the growth be 1% in 2013 instead of 2%, and they would actually start that in the last calendar quarter of 2012. So this year we'd see savings of about $55,000. The difference to us in 2013 compared to current status quo would be $223,000. These numbers are from Tom Herden. New York City would see a slower beginning of the savings, but they would still save money compared to the current situation. So, and again, they don't have the tax cap. So NYSAC is very much in favor of the Senate proposal, and they have asked counties to make a big pitch thanking the Senate, hoping that they will hold on to it and negotiate hard for that, especially since they're the only ones, you know, they're one out of three branches. So when I was in Albany on Thursday, I made sure to have time in the Capitol before the Medicaid meeting. I met with Senator Nozzolio, Senator Betty Little. I met with her mostly about Hydrilla. She's chair of the Tourism Committee in the Senate. And also met with Jack Martins, another senator who's been very good about local government issues, and was able to speak to Barbara Lipton and Tom O'Mara on the phone. So then I also sent letters. Joe and I signed letters today that were faxed to the senators and to all the members of the Joint Committee on Health, and we can get you copies of that if you're interested. Anyway, so the big push is that the Senate proposal on the growth takeover would be accepted. The administrative cap is another issue here. We've complained about the cap on reimbursements, and it turns out we're one of only 10 counties where that cap actually hurt us. And it's in the details of how they figured out, how they came up with the number of the cap. And the executive has said they propose to make us whole. In other words, that they will not hold us to the expenses above the cap that was projected. They'll cover us on that. So that was new news. We got that news Thursday also. That's good. So the assembly, as you see here, said same as the executive. They had the same proposal as the executive. The Senate said no administrative reimbursement cap. They didn't put that in at all. And that's tied to the next row across, which has to do with the takeover of state functions. The Senate basically has rejected the idea of state takeover of administration. So since they're not proposing that the state take over administration, they're not proposing a cap on reimbursements. I don't know how that squares with the fact that they passed a law in 2010 that said that's what the state would do, but it seems they've changed their mind on that. Senator Little said to me, we just can't afford it, the takeover of the admin functions. So I don't know how that's going to come out. The Assembly rejected the admin takeover of functions. So they rejected, they kept the admin reimbursement cap, but rejected taking functions over from the counties. So that's kind of, they left us with the work, but capped our administrative reimbursements. There's a little bit of detail here in that Barbara Lifton was able to get in touch with Richard Godfrey, the chair of the Assembly Health Committee, and we had a three-way call on Friday afternoon. And he explained it quite differently than we heard about it on Thursday afternoon, but it does seem that the Assembly, it's unclear to me whether there's money in the state, in the Assembly's budget for the Department of Health to take over any functions. They seem to want to slow it down. They want to have counties have the right of first refusal on any functions that they, you know, if there's a list of functions and our county wants to continue doing three out of the five functions and be paid for that, they want counties to have that option. If I were to summarize, I think the executive, the Department of Health and the governor want maximum flexibility on contracting some functions out on private contractors and on hiring flexibility and not have to use the full civil service process. The Assembly is kind of saying, no, you have to have, you can't have no bid contracts, and you have to use civil service, and you have to use give counties the right of first refusal. Those features will significantly slow the whole process of takeover down, and the issue comes to the state insurance exchange, which is the last line on here, on each column. As of 2014, the full Affordable Care Act will take effect. The Senate, I think, is banking on, is just sort of putting up a roadblock and saying, we don't think, I guess they don't think Obama will be reelected. They think Obama will lose the Supreme Court challenge to the health care law, whatever it is. They don't want to put anything in here that goes along with the insurance exchange. And I'm not editorializing. I'm telling you what I've been told. And I think this is what they're thinking of. Unfortunately, if the law goes through and the state has not set up an exchange, not just set up the legal structure, but also set up the software and the people and the whole system, which is easily a two-year process if things go really well. If the state hasn't set that up, there will still be a federal exchange. And counties will be in a position of directly working with the federal government, and we will be accepting the up to 1 million new clients who will be brought into the system. The 500,000 who are likely to be new Medicaid patients, and the other people who are probably over the income level of Medicaid, but we will be responsible for helping them to sign up for health insurance, either with a subsidy or on their own private pay. So it's a real high stakes game here about whether there's going to be, whether the process that my group has been part of to identify what the state can take over and and get that going, whether that's going to go ahead is a very difficult issue. And, our group has written a letter saying that that we're interested in seeing this. It's very important that the state be, Department of Health be empowered to go ahead. We'll see how that comes out. I don't know how to predict what they'll end up doing. But I, you know, certainly the headline is that we hope the Senate plan on the funding goes through, and I guess I hope that if there's no administrative takeover, I certainly hope there's no reimbursement cap at the same time. So that's a lot of information. It's maybe it's more than you want to know, but that's what we know at the moment. And maybe they'll, as you read through the NYSAC alerts or read through news stories, maybe that'll help you understand what the moving parts are here. So those are the main things. Joe, you're going to talk about hydrilla and the other things
right.
on the budget. Are there any questions about this part of it? Okay, lulled you to sleep. All right. If any questions come up, please don't hesitate to ask.
Actually,
yeah, Kim.
It's not about these options. It's maybe a kindergarten question. If the state adopts any multi-year plan, how much of a done deal is it if it's done in this budget year? Can they change it in midstream, second or third year?
Yeah, I think they can.
Budget time again.
I mean, they voted in 2 years ago for an administrative takeover. They didn't put money behind it. They put money behind the Department of Health working out a plan, but.
No, I'm not talking just on the administrative part. I'm talking about on the fiscal relief portion of it. If they make a decision now, is that for the, you know, phase in over these 3 years? Can they change it?
Well, you have to ask the people, like the Campaign for Fiscal Equity people in the school district. They were made promises too. I would certainly hope that if they make a promise to take over the growth of Medicaid over 3 years, that's a big deal that they would not go back on. So we'll see. Yeah. So I guess the worst case scenario on that is that, you know, we will get a little bit of savings in 2012 and 2013 and 2014 and 15 if the worst comes to pass, which would be the governor and assembly's proposal on that. So. Okay. Joe, you're up.
Okay, now we're going to put you into deep REM sleep. I'm going to summarize in very short order the other moving parts in the state budget. And you've all gotten the NYSAC document, so you've seen the long version of this. But I'll touch on some of the major things that are going on. And even the major things, once we get beyond Medicaid, are relatively minor. It's pretty much on the margin at this point. Actually, the largest single item at stake right now doesn't affect us directly. It affects us indirectly, and it's the FTE aid for TC3. It's the state aid to the community colleges. And right now, the governor is in there with a flat amount of aid. And if that were to happen, TC3 is estimated that will put them about $700,000 behind the eight ball. They needed some growth in aid to be able to balance this year, although I think we all know that they are really good about closing their budget gaps. But the governor came in flat. The assembly has recommended an increase of $205 per student. That's worth almost $850,000. That's really important. Senate is in at $100, so that's about $400,000. So hopefully the compromise will lead to additional aid to TC3, and we'll have to wait another week to find out exactly how much. But that's the largest single thing that's at play right now. In terms of public assistance, quickly, there has been a plan on the books. Carol talked about, can they change their minds midstream? There is a plan on the books to increase the stipend for public assistance by 10% in the coming year. The governor has said, I want to take that off the table. Actually, no, the governor says I want to split that over 2 years, half coming in 2012, half in 2013. We budgeted according to statute, so we budgeted that 10% increase. So if the governor's budget passed, we would save about $29,000. Again, it's on the margin at this point. The Senate says forget about the increase entirely. That would save us $58,000. The assembly says keep it in place. So that's pretty much the total range of options that's possible. All those are on the table right now. Again, regardless of how it comes out, we budgeted appropriately but conservatively, it turns out. District attorney salaries, We should always be nice to Gwen because she's the DA, but we should be nicer because she is in line to get a salary increase that's tied to what the judiciary gets. You know, it's been a long time since judges have got a pay increase. That's a part of this budget. DAs piggyback on those judicial increases. There are some aid proposals out there to help pay for some of that. The governor has recommended that 40% of the increase come from the states. The Senate has recommended 100% of the increase be funded with state dollars. The Assembly agrees with the governor. Again, small dollar amounts, but it's something that you will see. Early intervention in pre-K, we've talked a little bit about what the governor proposed to do there. Really, his changes didn't have a heck of a lot of impact on us. Would have shifted some of the burden of cost increases to school districts and the state in the pre-K program. Those are basically off the table. Neither house really embraced what the governor's proposed there. We talked about this last time. The one hit, and nobody has apparently jumped to the rescue of youth services. So it looks as if our youth program will experience a loss that Amy estimates between somewhere in the mid-30s to someplace in the mid-$60,000 that will affect us. And we will need to talk about what we want to do about that. And we'll have to do that pretty quickly because it will affect programs that they would like to offer this summer. So those are really the major things that are going on there. Everything is on the margin. And over the next week, we should see how it comes out. The other thing that I put on the list is hydrilla. We talked to Senator Seward's office today. He indicated that the Senate has proposed a $2.5 million appropriation, not for us, but for invasive species. And then they would carve out some of that for us. The Assembly and Governor haven't proposed anything new. Difficulty is that that money would be supported by shifting funds from the open space, part of the Environmental Protection Fund, into an invasive species account. So you have advocates of open space money that take issue with the Senate's plan. So we will have to see how that comes out, too, but we're certainly lobbying for hydrilla. So the portion of my report that relates to the state budget, that's it. And if anybody has any questions, I can take those.
Pam and then Frank.
Yes, I have two questions. One of them is that in the proposal that I don't know which it was, the Assembly or the Senate, where they would that the state would pay 40% of the increase for the district attorney, who would be paying the 60%?
Us.
Oh, that's what I was afraid of. Okay. and then the other one is it your feeling that if something isn't on this list, I sort of went through it online and looked at it, that it's probably not in major contention? I mean, I was thinking of STOA, because the governor has proposed almost a 7% increase in STOA payments, and I couldn't find anything in the transportation section that showed anything, and nobody at TCAT has heard anything either, so I was hoping that no news is good news, but who knows?
Well, let me track that down. Okay. I haven't looked at STOA, but typically, if neither house brought something different to the table, the governor's budget prevails. So if he's proposed a 7% cut, nobody's fighting that.
No,
7%
up.
Increase.
Oh, up.
Up.
Yeah. Then I'll check that tomorrow. But, yeah, that's the governor's proposal would typically hold.
Frank.
Thanks, Martha. That was a question I was going to ask. Thanks for addressing it. The other, on health care, the pre-K and the children with special, the other, I thought I heard you say that there was nothing more of a hit than what we have taken in 2011. Did I understand you right?
Yes. But for pre-K and EI? And I think that generally characterizes this budget. This budget is basically flat for our programs. The only proposals that were made for pre-K and EI were so-called reform proposals.
The shift.
Well, in EI, it was to have insurance companies step up and pick up a greater share of the burden and make it easier to do that. And some of those things are still in play. I've been using this phrase on the margin. The impact on us seems to be on the margin there. That's still in play a bit, but it's been watered down by the legislature. Pre-K, the idea of shifting the burden of cost increases to others, is off the table. So we will still have to bear our share of the increasing cost as we always have. So the governor's plan to shed some of that burden to local school districts and the state itself.
Yeah. Same taxpayer, different pocket if it right. passes. The other one, Joe, is senior citizens. There was some talk about the ICEP program taking a big hit, the one that provides pharmaceutical help for seniors. But this, as I understood it, the Senate came to the rescue and said they didn't want it to take any serious hits. Have you heard anything more about that?
I have not. I've not seen that on the list. But when I check with on STOA, I'll also check with ICEP.
Would you? Okay.
Yeah, and there will be an aging effect that has, not the effects of aging, but an effect on aging
good
programs.
Nice pun.
That we're getting through this year. Last year there was a cut. This year you've made some money available to carry through 2012. That was done earlier. Come 2013, the effect of that cut will have to be dealt with in aging. It's the WRAP program, which was the weatherization program.
Yeah.
But that's for another day.
Do you think they're going to have the budget done before April 1st?
Oh, I absolutely. Pensions seems to be the big deal, and that's done.
Really?
So, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was the big ugly.
The big ugly.
Yeah, the pre-K and special ed proposals from the governor would have saved counties some money, about $20 million for one and $20 million for the other. I think what's still in there is that billing would be transferred to the state, so that might be some workload relief for counties.
Right. That's correct. That's still in play.
Are they proposing any changes to the reimbursement rates?
No. But it's just that they would assume some function, the billing function. Again, that's in play. The health department, our health department people think that effect will be slight to us, pretty complicated the way it would work, but that is one part of the relief plan that the governor offered.
Was there any mention at all? I didn't see it in any of the material that Martha and you sent to us, but was there any mention about restoration for the septic, any of the health department septic program at all? Because they whacked the health department big time on that.
Last year?
Yeah.
Last year, no. I've not seen further cuts, nor have I seen any restorations there. Again, for the most part, things will be as they are right now. And most of the big health, Article 6 funding, those things, basically staying the same for 2012 as they were in 2011.
But this proposed shift, you think, is still on the table of shifting the children's program to the school districts?
No.
That part's off.
That's off.
It's an administrative transfer, taking a billing function away from counties and having the state step into the situation.
No, that's on.
That's still on, right?
Yeah.
It's the shift of money burden to the school districts.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to end up paying one way,
right.
Left or right, we're going to end up paying it. But,
right.
We were pretty lukewarm about that one. Carol, you had a question?
Yeah, I had a question about also being seeing effects from left and right. Have you heard anything about other parts of the budget that fund some of the organizations that we support more indirectly and that the state supports more directly in the past and where their budgets stand? I mean, I'm anticipating hearing more from them. The example that I have, I was in Albany last week, in which, you know, I hitched a ride with the affordable housing lobbyists. And I was able to attend a dinner and hear from the assembly and the Senate chairs of the housing committees, Vito Lopez in the Assembly and Catherine Young in the House, in the Senate. Sorry. I was hearing that the governor's budget really decimates some of the affordable housing money. In particular, there's two kinds of money. One is foreclosure relief money, which fortunately in this county we're not as hard hit by. there are three. Then there's sort of community development money, which is really being decimated. And the third is the operating budget support that comes to affordable housing organizations. In the past, it was kind of an annual allotment of $65,000 to $80,000 a year per organization, so Better Housing would get whatever that year's allotment was per organization. That has just been cut entirely from the governor's budget. And that the Assembly is not talking about putting back, but the Senate is. But the Assembly is saying that the Senate money that is talking about going back in is actually funny money that won't really be there. I didn't know exactly what to make of that.
The question is,
did you hear anything about affordable housing or other kinds of organizations that we expect to be supported in our community, of which our support is only a portion, that we might be hearing from in the upcoming budget season because their funding has been cut?
No. The affordable housing folks know. I think Kathy Slaughter may have been to see the committee once before, but I haven't tracked those. I don't know how deep the cuts are, if any, in those agencies, so that's something that we'll have to come back to.
My fear is that there's a lot of them out there that we have only seen the tip of the iceberg.
Well, the one, if I could, just quickly, the one Carol mentioned about the reimbursement, one of the programs that we help with is the one that Ed oversees with, it's not HEAP or the one that does
percent home buyers?
Yes. Is there anything that may affect that financing? What is that financing?
Isn't that CDBG?
There? Say again?
Is that CDBG?
Yeah, I think that is. I think that's federal money.
What about anything that's going to affect the block grants that they were all talking about?
The federal cut of 20%. Carol, Ron Deutsch and the New Yorkers for Fiscal Fairness, I saw an email from them about their budget proposal or maybe their analysis. So I can send that. They might look at agencies like this.
That's always good to have.
Okay.
In any case.
All right. And just one comment on the public assistance grants.
Right.
When you say that we save $39,000, whatever, what that means is that the people on public assistance don't get the 10% increase that they were promised last year, that they'll only get 5% of it, and they'll get 5% next year. So,
right.
You know, our budget saves it, but our constituents who are most in need are not going to get it. So, any other questions for Joe? Anything else in your...
Just a quick, Peter Stein asked about the shared service grant. I think everybody should have gotten an email from me on the status of that. We talked about that at some length at the last meeting. And I told you we were rushing to get a grant in. I'll tell you, we did a pretty good job in pulling a grant proposal together that's a quality proposal. So that side of things went very well and very quickly, and documentation is in place. I think all of you know that's very late in this process, a number of town highway superintendents indicated that they had concerns with what we were doing and suggested that there might be savings that are already happening that we may not be aware of. They weren't terribly confident that they would be – the study was really money well spent. So they made their reservations known. It resulted in some ambivalence out there. We took a look. Don Barber and I talked and took a look, and I think this came out in the email. And I think because this moved on such a fast track that the ground laying that we all know is really important to these things, there really wasn't enough time to do that kind of ground laying, to talk to the highway folks, to get input, to assure, to clarify, all of those things that you normally do. There simply wasn't enough time to do it. And I think that was really the root cause of what we were experiencing with them. So as opposed to just pulling the plug, what we said is we're going to suspend the application. We want to take a run in the next round, and we're going to spend the time between now and then wisely to get with the highway people to talk to them, clarify, assure, and so forth. So I hope everybody here realizes that the intent of the study was to get the input of highway folks. It was really the intent. Put that knowledge to use to figure out ways that we might be able to save money. I still think we have room to believe that we're going to be able to resurrect this and get it back to state next time after we have a chance to really engage folks in another round of discussion. In the meantime, I will be talking to the city about some things that they want to talk about. I may involve the town of Ithaca in that as well. So stay tuned for round two. But we did commit a lot of time and effort to it, and should this go back on track, we have a great, great grant proposal to submit to the state for the shared service money.
Julie, this may seem silly, but the Village of Cuba Heights was very supportive of this shared services grant and passed a resolution to that effect. I expect other villages might have also. If you're seriously going to consider doing something with the city and the town of Ithaca, I just wanted to remind you that the Village of Cuba Heights is in the town of Ithaca, and it would be nice to ask them.
Very good.
Anything else, Leslie? Did you have your hand up?
Yeah, I did. I had two questions. I wanted to go back to part of your report on the state budget.
Mm-hmm.
And could you repeat what you said about youth services, the cut to youth services?
Yeah, it's an important one. It, all along, this has been the one area where it looked like there was a real cut from the year before. But it's been flat.
It was.
Amy estimates that the impact will be between $35,000 and I think it's $66,000. So what I'm saying to the legislature is we need to focus on that. It seems to be the only net reduction in this budget. We need to focus on that.
Thank you.
And talk about what we should do.
Right. And my second question goes to the shared services. And you are anticipating that there will be another opportunity to submit this grant?
Yeah, although it may be. I don't want to misrepresent. It may be a year. It may be that we have to wait a year to do it. I suspect a year from now there might be local competition for it, too.
Yeah.
There might be some other projects that pop.
Yeah.
That said, we spend a lot of local dollars on highways. I think there are a lot of good ideas out there to channel, so we will do our best to regroup, refocus, and then take another run at the grant.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Joe. I guess a summary statement on the budget. It looks like there aren't the same kind of cost shifts, big cost shifts that we've seen in the past. There's also pretty lukewarm mandate relief. So isn't what we were hoping for, but we'll see if we can keep what's out there so far. Thank you very much.
Martha, can I ask another question?
Sure.
Speaking of mandate relief, it was in our correspondence, there were resolutions passed by a number of counties asking folks to unite and requesting that the state real mandate relief. Did we get a copy of that somewhere? Are we?
Yeah, do we have copies from other counties?
You have the copies of other counties. Is it something that we are considering, or we should consider as well?
We've passed that kind of resolution. We haven't had that one exact one brought to us. Through the committee process. I mean, if we wanted to make a difference, we probably should pass it tonight.
Yeah. Sorry, we're a little late in the game.
Yeah, we've been shaking the trees. I mean, we really have. And you know, Hydrilla, for one thing, that's really disappointing. We heard from Barbara Lifton and Senator Little that, quote, the DEC is sitting on money. They have money they're not spending. And that's certainly not what the DEC wrote to me in a letter. And I gave them the letter, and they go, you know. So this weekend I spent time emailing the governor's people, and, you know, everybody's passing the buck, and it's their buck, and they're keeping it. So, you know, We've done more, I think, than we've ever done in this whole area. Yeah, Rob Ryan.
Yeah, let me just, I hate to prolong this, but Joe, let me shift gears for just a sec.
Sure.
I know you took a trip to New York City for indigent representation. Judge Littman, did he mention anything about his proposal regarding changing the age at which you can charge a juvenile as an adult and that whole program?
Nope, that didn't come up at all. The focus has been on appearance, having counsel present at first appearance. That's really been the focus of Judge Littman when we've talked to him, and they're talking about ways to finance finance pilots. But no, the changing age did not come up.
Okay. I mean, we don't have to go into it too much. I'm sure we'll be dealing with that at public safety. But
Peter?
I'm pretty sure that the report that we heard at public safety said that he had walked away from that. Has now it's not going to happen.
Okay, he was just down there. That's why I was asking. Yeah.
But that's what we heard. Is that incorrect?
I'm not sure if Judge Littman has walked away from it or that he hasn't found strong support once it got outside his chambers, once it got into the governor's office and the legislature.
My impression was we really don't have to worry about that anymore.
That was the impression given, yeah.
But the idea was that there's a proposal for sort of a juvenile court, special court to be put in place to be sort of an intermediate step that would really enable communities to build up the services that are going to be needed to really take care of those 16 and 17-year-olds.
Well, I thought they were going to have some pilot programs of different ways of doing it, but it would not, at the moment, that the counties that are not in these pilot programs won't see anything for some time.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Right. And you know, there again, I'm sorry for bringing that up right now, but you know, it's never too early. If you have that, you're also going to have subsets of ATIs and that sort of thing, and, you know, we're always thinking about budget. So I was just wondering if there was any conversation to that issue, and now we can move on.
All right. Thanks very much. Jonathan Wood, county attorney.
I do not have a report.
No. All right. David Squires, finance director.
Good news. Sales tax for February came in overall about 5% over last February. And so year to date, we're up 3%, which, as I reported at the end of January, because the 2011 sales tax came in about $900,000 more, we only needed a small increase to be above budget, and we're up 3%. I'm handing this over to, in case you might be interested, but it's relevant to post-employment benefits. We have to value the cost of the benefit of providing health insurance to our employees when they retire. And on our notes to our financial statements, we value that. And the value of that liability of providing that benefit is $80 million. Now, if we were running a pension system, we would have to be funding that liability. On a pay-as-you-go basis, it's around $2 million a year. Starts at around $2 million a year and builds up as more people retire. The good news is that's a modest amount compared to the Ithaca City School District or any county that doesn't provide a cost-sharing arrangement for health benefits for retirees. We probably have one of the highest around in terms of cost-sharing for our retirees, which means that's why our $80 million is rather modest. So I'm going to give this to the clerk, and if you're interested in high finance, high dollar finance, this is it.
Thank you, David. Don't go away. Mike?
Mm-hmm. And Jim? It's not a question. It's a comment. I call your attention to an article in the Syracuse Post-Standard a couple of days ago about the city of Syracuse, and they're wrestling with their financial problems around the issue of health insurance. It's amazing what their employees pay versus when our employees pay 15%, they pay $30 a month in some respects. In some others are $60 a month. It's amazing. You just need to read it for your own information. It's, you go to Syracuse.com and pick the story up. And it is,
what's our comparable number, Jim, in dollars?
Do you want to?
I brought it because I thought Jim might bring this up. So in the city of Syracuse, non-uniformed employees, so non-police and fire, pay $15 a month for individual coverage, $30 for a family plan. The comparable here for an individual is $137 a month, and for a family coverage, it's a little less than $300. So it's about 10 times higher.
And that's for active employees. When
that's
you retire,
employees.
When you retire, it goes up about, retirees are paying, assuming they are in Medicare, they're participating in Medicare Part D, they pay about 40%. Because we kick 40% of the premium. So the policy, the basic county policy for family costs around $16,000 a year in current dollars. So they would be paying, a retiree would be paying, if there's two, 40% of that.
Right. So which is more typical of the state?
Well, it's now, well, in the private sector, most retirees are out on their own.
Right.
Medicare is their coverage. In now, you can't go back and retroactively.
Right.
So the majority of entities haven't required retirees to pay anything. It's only in subsequent union contracts do they add. I mean, the Ithaca City School District requires for past retirees zero participation and the cost sharing.
So is there anything about the rest of the benefits package or the entire compensation package that speaks to the other direction? You know, do we pay more than they do so that it's easier to cover their salary?
I wouldn't think that's our salaries. You know, it depends on. We're influenced by, we're more of an urbanized county, and so the counties around us are more rural, so salaries may not be as high as ours, but the health insurance cost is the same. I mean, it's,
right.
You know, and they could have a lower quality plan.
David, but...
go ahead.
Mike has...
different question. Was this about this?
Yeah.
This issue. Why don't you let Brian get that, if you would, please.
So people don't have a misconception. These are all part of collective bargaining agreements versus a policy of the city.
For the active employees, yes.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
And Cal's question was any negotiation, you know, combines compensation of all sorts, including salary and whatever else. So it's hard to just take one number. Although that's a pretty big difference. Mike?
Dave, you reported on the good news on the sales tax, and I just wondered, is that sort of across the board on sales, or is it the result of the spike in gasoline prices?
It's, can't really tell.
Can't tell.
I'm sure that we are, while gas has gone up dramatically, you've got to understand the utilities. One of our largest segments is home energy, and the warm climate we're having has certainly had some impact on sales tax.
Jim?
My memory is right. The last time the gas sales spiked, for a while we got higher sales tax, but then consumption went down, and the sales tax went away because people were not using as much gas as they were, you know, 6 months before that.
Just one other word on health insurance that everybody complains about, whether it's Medicare, Medicaid. I mean, the cost of health care, healthcare inflation has been double digit, kind of, you know, ignoring any sort of recession, ignoring any sort of economic cycle. And, you know, if as long as the cost of health care keeps growing like that, so is the cost of insurance going to grow. So, single payer. All right. Thanks very much, David. We have done the consent agenda. So let us go to public safety. Peter Stein, chair.
We have our next meeting on April 4th at 11 o'clock. I don't have anything particular to report from the last meeting.
Okay.
Except that good news from about the pulling back on that new requirement.
Okay. Thank you, Peter. Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee, Leslie McBean Claiborne, Chair.
We will meet next Wednesday at the Human Services Building, and we'll be hopefully considering the support of the resolution for increasing the minimum wage that is floating around right now at the state level. So that will be on our agenda.
Okay. Any questions? Thank you. Health and Human Services Committee, Frank Proto, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I wanted to give you an idea of what we did at the Health and Human Services Committee meeting last week. The one of the key items that this group considered some time ago, and Martha handed me the orange folder tonight, there was some interest in putting on the tax bill, the property tax bill, what percentage or dollar amount of one's taxes paid for mandates in the county. And we're going to be looking at that based on what other counties have done. And Martha was kind enough to share this with me. So we're going to be pulling together a little group to look at those. It's good to have the public aware of where their money is going. Another key item, before Bob DeLuca passed away, he submitted an application for the homeless, the home health piece, and that was brought forward. It's under consideration to have that home care part come through mental health. We got a very nice report on that. Unfortunately, Betsy was not able to attend that our meeting last week. The care transitions item, when we come to that, I had it pulled because I wanted to say a few words about that. I'll come back to that in just a second. One of the contentious issues that has reared its ugly head is the wood-burning issue in the city and the smoke. Pam and Kathy and I are going to, Kathy Herrera and I are going to get together to see if we can pull together a couple of our counterparts from the city. There's some interest in making sure that at least we do give this a thorough look, not only because of our health department, but because of the city's building code.
Right.
And we want to make sure that our colleagues in the city are aware of it. Frank Krupa gave us quite a write-up and quite a few words on this, but feels that the health department has come to about at the point where they can't do anything more because the issue is one of enforcement, and at least that's part of it. But it also involves permitting chimneys, and that's really the city's aspect. So we're going to be looking at that and seeing if there's some middle of the road and some advice where perhaps the two agencies, the code enforcement department in the city and the health department, can work together on that. Martha read an extensive list of advisory board appointments tonight. If any of you were not at the meeting, you got appointed in absentia. We just Will suggested we do that, and that's exactly what we did. At the next health committee meeting, we asked that Patricia bring forward. Remember, a couple of years back, we had about $340,000 devoted to transportation through DSS that was to go to fund a pilot project in Newfield and Enfield on bus service, and it ended up that the city transit was helping us with that. We wanted to get a final report on that because that has morphed into something else now, and there was quite a bit of concern about what the cost per ride would be, and Patricia said she'd bring that forward at the next meeting. The resolution, or the next meeting of the committee is the 10th of April, 3:30. You're all welcome to attend, obviously. The rec partnership items are out, and if the representative that was here earlier from Ulysses doesn't get a copy, we can see that she gets a copy of that, Martha, help you out. I asked that resolution C be pulled simply because I wanted to give you some information on where we are with that. So is it appropriate for me to move that, Martha?
First, I want to go to Brian. He had a question.
Yeah, just health committee in general. I was sitting here trying to find, I read an email within the last couple of days dealing with CMC and a discussion with regarding bath salts and the sale of them and that, and I was hoping that synthetic marijuana would be in there too, but that discussion is going to take place. I know that there have been municipalities that have banned the sale of that stuff, which is actually pretty bad. And hopefully you folks are going to be discussing that, and I would hope that that would be on the agenda for sometime fairly soon.
Actually, go ahead. I've got a comment about that.
Yeah. I'm good.
At the meeting in January and the early part of February, Patricia did give us a report on the effects.
Frank, could you speak a little louder, please? I'm having difficulty hearing.
Is that on?
If you would tip it up a little more, I think it would help.
Yeah, you got to talk it.
Thank you.
Is that better?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Brian is asking about the bath salts and the effects in the community on it. Patricia Carey gave us an update on that at a meeting earlier this year. There's a somewhat of a task force that's studying that because of the effect, and it's pretty serious.
Oh, yeah.
We hope to have another probably update maybe in a two-month period. I'm just picking that date off the top of my head.
Mm-hmm.
But they have to have an opportunity to pull the information together. But she's on, it's coming through her department because of the effects on the kids.
Right.
And because of the individuals economically who are being stressed by it.
There's some news at the state level, Joe.
Well, one of the items was the people walking away. Remember that report? We had an increase in kids in foster care, a dramatic increase. And part of the problem was there are parents walking away from their children and leaving it up to DSS to handle them, and some of it is drug-related, and it ties right back into what you're asking about. Joe, you may have a better...
Yeah, just a bit of a follow-up on that, because there has been some things happening since that time. CMC has, in fact, pulled together a task force. It's their clinicians. They're having a real problem with this. They've reached out to community folks. They both Frank Krupa and John Bezerganian, medical director of the Mental Health Department, will be on that task force. I believe the State Commissioner of Health has in fact banned those bath salts. And one issue is, how do we elevate an understanding of that to make sure that we can get these things off the market and enforce that ban? So that's a part of what this task force will be trying to do.
Okay.
Yeah, there was some concern about the synthetic marijuana being more... Patricia wasn't trying to be glib, but she said it's almost better if somebody is taking the old-fashioned marijuana as opposed to the designer.
Mike, all right. Mike, Peter, Carol, and Will.
Frank, at the joint meeting with the Cortland County legislators, they mentioned an uptick in the number of cases of hepatitis C over there, and they were quite concerned about that. And they wondered if we were having anything similar. They think it's related to drugs and other things like that. Wondered if you'd heard anything about that in your committee.
Yeah, if you look at the Board of Health report, and Will is probably better equipped at answering this than I, there has been a slight uptick. And some of it is because of there hasn't been money allocated to address it. But, yes, to answer your question, I don't think it's as serious as it is in Cortland County. Will, I don't know. Will, maybe you have more information.
No, I think that's my question as well.
But to answer your question, yes, there has been an uptick.
Thank you.
Peter?
I'm surprised to hear that a county has the authority to make up its own list of controlled substances. Is that right?
I don't think that's what I intended. I was referring to
the State Department of Health.
Right, but Frank said that he thought that a county could outlaw the bath salts, and I just didn't realize that.
I don't think I said that.
Actually, I did.
Oh, you did. Okay.
Yeah,
and we look a lot alike.
And it's been done, outlawing the sale of them.
Yes.
I mean, you can find them probably right on the commons, or certainly over in Cortland at convenience stores and so on and so forth. So.
Well, so, Joe, you said, so the state has taken action to outlaw the sale?
Yeah, and I'm trying to find the date right now, but
I thought I saw that, too.
It's my understanding that in March, this month, the State Department, the Commissioner of Health has issued a ban on bath salts.
I think you're right.
Actually, no, it was prior to that. It's back in 2011. State Health Commissioner banned sales of and distribution of dangerous substances marketed as bath salts. So it's really elevating an understanding of that and actually starting to enforce.
So that's been on the books, so what you can get on the common. So there's a disconnect there. So I guess this task force, I think you said, Joe, that Sheriff Lansing and the state police are also going to be part
of that.
So, right. Okay. All right.
Well, I think the task force is set up, from what I understand, in order to, they recognize there's a problem, and they're setting the task force up to address it. That's right. Cougar Medical Center is taking the lead.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Let's see. Carol and then Will.
Yeah, well, I was on the same topic as Mike, and I think Cortland people mentioned that they're looking at the uptick in the cases of hepatitis C as a possible result of needle sharing, and if so, how to respond to that with possible needle kind of programs?
Well, one of the programs, some of you will remember, we had a program that we worked through AIDS Work a number of years ago, and it's still going on, where we will give clean needles. Not that we're promoting drug use or anything like that, but it's better to have people using that than that. It's the needle sterilization program, and that is still going on today. So I think that may be one reason why we're not experiencing the same. It's that needle exchange. We may not be experiencing the same increase that Cortland is, but it's still a concern.
Will,
thank you.
Thanks, Martha. Not to drag this on endlessly, but you mentioned REC partnership, and I have in my calendar that they're having an annual meeting next week.
Next Wednesday.
Are they encouraging legislators to come?
Yes, it's at the Bevlivsey Conference Room, 5:00, 5:30 on Wednesday. And it will be to discuss the, among other things, but it's to discuss the contract. But they're having their annual meeting. I was looking for the invitation, and unfortunately I don't have it with me. But thanks for the reminder. Well, it is next, it's a week from tomorrow.
And in times past, they usually give them
a light food. Yeah. Dooley.
Back to the smoke pollution downtown. The EMC's Energy Committee discussed that today, and one of the things that I was able to share with them was that I had copied Mayor Myrick on exchanges with different families and their photos, and he's very good about answering emails, I must say, even when he's heading out of town. He understood that it may be appropriate for the city to develop its own regulations to control use of wood-burning furnaces, in especially the densely populated parts of the city. So that's another route that you should discuss probably when you're having your meeting.
The plan that sort of the game plan that came out of the health committee last week, excuse me, we had three individuals there that have been experiencing a problem, and we gave them an opportunity to enlighten us. The plan was not to try to upstage the city, but to work with them. And my understanding is that perhaps Martha is, I've asked Martha if she could speak with the mayor and at least let him know that we'd like to meet with a couple of members of Common Council that are representing those districts where the problem occurred. Kathy Herrera and Pam are our legislators that are representing the districts where the problem has at least for now, has come up. And we want to make sure that we're not stepping on anybody's toes. But it may be indeed, I mean, the mayor certainly would have to be involved, as I think Martha would have to be involved because of the continuity.
Well, our energy committee has a dilemma because we like to promote renewable energy, but wood burning of various materials is not necessarily clean.
Well,
and there's no regulations for checking what comes out of the smokestack other than opacity, which is very weak in New York State as a standard.
Okay.
Can I do that resolution?
Yes, let's do the resolutions.
I'd like to introduce Resolution C. Acceptance of funding, community-based care transitions program, and I'll move it.
Seconded by Nathan.
The reason I pulled this off is I wanted to make sure that in the event that you missed Marcia and Lisa Holmes' wonderful article on what this program does, we have our team is in Baltimore right now. They've been there since yesterday. They'll be returning tomorrow. To get the next step in the phase of this incorporation of this program. Information that I've received, there are 30 units that have been established across the United States in 19 states, 126 acute care hospitals, one of them is ours, and there's only four entities that have been identified in New York State that are going to get this money, and Tompkins County through COFA is one of them. The idea is to try to provide services for individuals who are transitioning from hospitals to homes, and they're saying it could affect about 250,000 people, which is impressive. They hope to save something like $60 million on this program, which could be substantial. But our hospital does not experience the readmission rate that some of these other hospitals have experienced. But one of the reasons I think we were selected is because of the rural nature of Tompkins County. And we've got a good group of people that are working together, and if you're not getting the impression that I'm excited about this, you should be. This is really a really, really good program. And Lisa, Sue Ellen Stewart, Ms. Nolte from the hospital, and there's a fourth person who I just can't remember, but the fifth person is Betty Falco. Betty from the Health Planning Council has been terrific to work with on this. I'll have a better report for you after they get back tomorrow at the Health Committee meeting next month. We may ask them to come and give us an update. But this is that $500 million federal program that should be a real plus for us. Marcia, thanks for the news release. Thank you.
For the future reference, something like this could stay on consent, and then in your report, just highlight it as a resolution.
I was following your lead.
All right. Any questions or comments on this? All in favor of Resolution C, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That's unanimous.
All right. Thanks, Martha.
Thank you, Frank.
You bet. Thank
you. Facilities and Infrastructure Committee, Carol Chalk, Chair.
We will meet on Friday, April 6th at our time. Note our time is 9:45 in the morning.
All right. Thank you. Capital Plan Review, Mike Lane, Chair.
We haven't met since our last legislative meeting. But I want to remind you of our next meeting, which will be Wednesday, that's tomorrow, at 2:30, or excuse me, at 3:30 at the old courthouse. And also, please don't forget to come to the special meeting of this legislature, which will be talking about the renovation of the old courtroom so that into the new legislative chambers, and that's on March 27th. At 6 p.m. Yeah, I think you all have those agendas.
Mike, isn't that meeting tomorrow in the courthouse conference room?
Yes, I thought it was at the old jail.
Okay.
Never mind.
Okay, so down
the hall. It is at the old jail, not at the old courthouse. Pardon me for that mistake.
No. Isn't it in the courthouse, down the hall, courthouse conference room?
Yes.
Okay.
Is the old courthouse
not? No. Touchdown attendance if no one.
So this will be really clear. We'll be all walking around somewhere. All right. Thank you very much, Mike.
You're welcome.
Planning, Development, and Environmental Quality Committee, Will Burbank, Chair.
Well, thank you. I will be brief.
What happened to Gio?
I don't know. I went right over it. I'm sorry.
Just get it right by.
Well, do you mind? Let's go to Gio, Government Operations, Dewey Kiefer.
Yes, well, it's my first chance to talk as Chair of Gio. We had our first meeting of the 2012 version of the committee yesterday. And the number one item on our agenda was a detailed presentation on the Redistricting Commission's report. We had time for questions, and the commission made its March 1st deadline, as you know, and you each have copies of their reports. I'm not going to go into it at all now, but I wanted to tell you that we're going to wait until the next GO meeting, which will be Friday, April 13th, to consider what we will recommend to the legislature in a way of a local law. We're delaying this in order to give the city Redistricting Committee, which has no deadline, a chance to update their information for us. And they're having two public hearings before our meeting. One is tonight. It's probably over by now. And one will be March 28th. They are considering four different plans for the city. Two have four wards and two have five wards. The ones with four wards would mesh very well with our Redistricting Commission's report. The fives would not. We'll wait to see what happens. It may be that it will be prudent for us to send the whole question back to the Redistricting Commission, depending upon what the city winds up with. So we'll wait and see. Chairman DeLay was very full of praise for our staff, ITS staff Greg Potter and Svetlobrovska. And he characterized Karen Fuller as having formidable administrative skills, which sounds to me like she put a lot of time in on that. And we all felt at the committee meeting level that it's appropriate for us, when we finish this process, to share what we've done with the state. As Chair DeLay said, we're the only county in the state to have an independent redistricting commission. So I think that Martha can look forward to sending it on when we finish. We also heard from the county clerk. The resolution I pulled from the agenda tonight would have had us supporting an initiative that Aurora and Maureen have brought to us. It's not that we don't support it. It's an initiative to develop an identification card of some sort for veterans to carry so that they can easily access discounts that various businesses offer them. But it was not explained in enough detail for us to feel comfortable passing it on to the legislature today. And also, we would like to know what it's likely to cost And then even more confounding is the fact that at the state level, the DMV is considering adding this kind of identification to our state license. So if they do it, there's less reason for us to go forward and spend money doing it. So we'll know more about that next meeting also. Aurora and Maureen also shared with us their application for shared services grant. This is to archives. It's a grant, a request for $150,000. $75,000 of it would go to helping pay challenge employees to do more scanning of paper documents and turning them into microfiche. The other half would go toward additional laserfiche software licenses and upgrades, expansion of data storage capability, redundancy, disaster recovery. And what's exciting about this is that our county clerks have gotten six towns to sign in for this. And that's what all the additional scanning and costs will be. And the towns are Dryden, Groton, Ithaca, Lansing, Newfield, and Enfield. They're all participating. And what will be scanned are things like town minutes and building permits. Apparently, there are 908,000 documents to be scanned. So it's a big deal. But it should be great when it's done. We heard from our assessment department its report on continuing equity maintenance. They've prepared a four-page handout for residents. They have already reviewed all the small apartments in the county. There are about 1,000 such buildings, and based on their scrutiny, there will be a uniform increase in value for all of the small apartment buildings. They also have already checked the current use of all the wholly exempt properties in the county and have managed to add $2.173 million back to the tax rolls. They found, for example, something like a church, which is renting a mobile home on its property, which would be taxable. So they did a really good job of checking all these little things, and they're just now gearing up to check Cornell and Ithaca College and all the municipalities to see if all of our wholly exempt properties are being used appropriately according to law. So that will be an interesting exercise. There was one other item on the agenda that I wanted to tell you all about. Under assessment, they had brought a resolution to help bring money into the county by opting out of an exemption that Section 487 of the Real Property Law provides, which is for wind and solar and farm-to-waste energy facilities added to a property, if it increases the property's value, that amount of increase would be exempt from property taxes. It's part of New York State's way of promoting renewable energy. Unfortunately, this applies not only to small residential things, but it also applies to the Black Oak Wind Farm, which would be a commercial-size profit-making entity. And so that's why we were considering opting out of this exemption. But there was enough concern on the committee that we withdrew it to look further to see if there is some way we can help protect these small residential facilities from being taxed. And there were several possibilities, but it's so darn late, I'm not going to tell you about them now. But there's some interesting possibilities. So our next meeting, and from now on, it will be on the second Friday of each month from 9:30 to 12, 2.5-hour meetings. Thanks. And if you have questions, I'll try.
Any questions? Mike?
Julie, I think an important thing that the assessment department told us was that there has been no increase or decrease in assessments for residential properties because of the installation of solar or other sources of energy like that. So by passing this resolution, we would not be hurting anybody in a residential thing, but yet we would still be able to get taxes through a pilot agreement process with a large producer, for example, a wind farm.
Yes, that's true. The sales of those properties with solar or wind facilities attached have not shown an increase in their value, so that's why. There are about 90 applications sitting at assessment for this, should it become relevant. The problem is if we opt out of this exemption, then we're in trouble in the future. I'm going to go into one of the possibilities, and that is that we could opt out of this exemption before Black Oak starts construction, and then as soon as it starts construction, we could opt back in. So that's one of the possibilities.
In other words, set up a pilot and then opt back in. Mm-hmm. Okay,
thank
any other questions?
Mike.
All right, thank you, Dooley. Will, back to planning, development, environmental quality.
Wow. All that in 2 hours, 2.5 hours. That's impressive, Dooley.
I'm going to give a very brief report and then get on to the one resolution we pulled. We talked about a lot of things, including the rifle resolution. But we also heard our quarterly report from the Convention and Visitors Bureau. And there's good news and bad news. Fred Bond said 2011 was a record year for tourism, and he anticipates to get full data that he'll be sharing in April. He says that the tourism's been bringing us a lot of value. Their estimates are about $537 per household benefit from tourism. So that's pretty significant. He ticked off a lot of their various projects, including the winter recess, which this year worked wonderfully. They had over 5,500 attendees from 311 cities, 15 states, 45% of the folks were from outside of the county. So a lot of local people benefited, but there was really a good draw, and it generated about $37,000 in hotel nights. So that's the good news. Two things that are kind of on the not so good news category. He says that the state is anticipates to continue to reduce funding for the matching funds program, and it's already been cut dramatically. It's likely to be halved, and that's going to reduce their ability to promote. And even more worrisome is there's talk of taking the tourism regions and aligning them with the economic development regions, which would take us out of the, put us into the southern tier, away from the Finger Lakes. And they feel that this would be a really negative thing in terms of our ability to promote ourselves. So that was that. I do have the one resolution, which was setting the public hearings for housing, public facilities, and economic development needs for the Office of the Housing and Community Renewal Community Development Block Grant. And I will move that. That's Resolution H.
Seconded by Pat.
And the reason I pulled it was that I'd been told there were some questions. I guess, Mike, you had a question.
I just wondered, I noticed in the possibilities what we could apply for included community facilities, or public facilities. And I just wondered what we were aiming at this time, what was being recommended by the planning department. Should we be thinking about other things besides housing? Housing has always been pretty important to us. But every time this comes up, every year, I really think it's important that we look at this and make sure whatever we decide to apply for is what we really need. For example, would there be a need this year for money for economic development? Let's say if we needed a sewer line for an industrial park, for example. And I just want to make sure we've looked at that before we go forward in any direction.
Okay. Thank you. And I'm sorry, as you may have noticed, Ed Marks was in the back early on but could not stay. He was hoping to speak to that. I did ask him about that question, and my understanding was that it is somewhat problematic in terms of funding parts of industrial parks, in terms of the benefit needs to be directed specifically to to low income. I mean, you need to be able to demonstrate by the terms of the grant that it will be flowing to certain groups, economic classes. And I'm completely mangling this, so I'm going to say that we should wait until the hearing and ask those questions.
That's fine.
Thank you.
Okay, but that's helpful, though. I knew he was waiting for the other item, but I didn't move the consent agenda up while he was here. He had to go to the Town of Ithaca Planning Board meeting. Carol?
Yeah, I can tell you that from having been involved on the staff end of community development block grant applications, the writing of them, it's a very specific point system where you get points for whether you meet certain aims. Mm-hmm. And so I believe that public facilities, it's harder to get points for that part of the application than for the kinds of things that we have been successful at. But again, certainly it is something that's appropriate for the public hearing, and if there are those who want to propose that we do that, that would be an appropriate place to bring it up.
Any other questions? Ready to vote on Resolution H. All in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That's unanimous.
And our next meeting will be on April 4th at 3:30 in the Old Jail. And that concludes my report.
Thank you, Will. Carol.
I have a question for Will back on the tourism program. Is Fred or anybody, the tourism program, asking us to weigh in on what region we would like to be part of? Is that, would that be appropriate to bring, ask them to bring to us?
That's a good question. I will ask him.
I know he's done lobbying at the state also on that. Broadband Committee, Pat Pryor, Chair.
Thank you. Broadband Committee was notified this past Friday that the grant application that had been submitted to the Park Foundation has been funded. I want to say thank you to Paula Younger and to the team of people that she worked with from our committee that put this grant together and did a very nice job of it. This grant money, which is $9,878.76, will allow us to contract with the Cornell Survey Research Institute. And they're going to conduct a telephone sample survey of people in unserved parts of Tompkins County. The idea is to obtain data, hard data, as opposed to the kind of anecdotal data that we have been collecting all along from respondents. And that will become useful as we develop a business plan to move forward with the implementation stage of universal broadband here in Tompkins County. So we're quite excited about that. We're also continuing with our community forums. We've now completed three of them. We have three more to go. Each one has been very well received, and we're looking forward to continuing with the dialogue and the feedback from people in those communities. The schedule is now available on the county website. And we're in the process of, Michelle is helping us get a website set up, which will be linked to the county website for the broadband committee. We've almost got that ready to go with, haven't we, Michelle? And just a couple of little things I think I have to attend to before we can make it live. Our next committee meeting will be this coming Monday at 5:30 in the Borg Warner Room, and you're all welcome to attend. It's a public meeting, and anybody out there listening who would like to know more about what we're doing is welcome to attend as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Pat. Any questions? When are the upcoming community forums? Do you know that? Do you have that or not?
Just go to the website. I don't have the date here. Okay. With me. Sorry.
Okay. All right. Thanks very much. And Budget, Capital, and Personnel, Tim Dennis, Chair.
Thank you. We have a meeting scheduled for Monday afternoon at 3:30. And is everyone aware that there was a Cougar County legislator in the back of the room for most of the meeting? A gentleman came over here to hear about redistricting, and unfortunately That wasn't on, but he was so enthralled by all of us that he stayed almost, you know, within 10 minutes ago. So,
where was he from?
Cougar County. And he invited all of us to go over and sit in the back of his legislature. I might do that because we punished him. He can punish us.
Yeah, Frank.
Jim, finish the rest of the story, though. He was here to make, he had to attend a legislative meeting. He's gone to the Maxwell School in Syracuse, and he was here to attend a legislative meeting, and he didn't want to do it in his own county.
Yeah. Well, did someone sign his paper? Anyway, Monday, 3:30. Thank you. That's my report.
Any questions for Jim? Did he want to speak or something? I mean, Frank was passing me notes.
You know, had he been here, I was going to ask him to just say hello. But
yeah, me too.
Okay.
That's what
he
I
left.
Was hoping.
I think he's following Nate.
Oh, okay. All right. Is that in that district? All right. Any other questions? Good. All right. Minutes of March 6th. Moved by Will, seconded by Frank. Questions, comments? All in favor, please raise your hand. Opposed. One opposed. One, two. Who's left? Everybody but
I
one.
I can vote.
And you're a yes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 11 to 1. All right. Motion to adjourn?
Yes.
All right. Adjourn. Thank you all.